Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Section 10 podcast. Here are your hosts, Jared Carabas, Pete Blackburn, and Steve Perrault.
What's up, and welcome back to the Section 10 podcast, episode 125, presented by Barstool Sports. It is the home of your 82-63 first place Boston Red Sox. My name is Jared Carabas, and I am a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that. And this right here, this is Pete Blackburn, and he's 5 foot tall, and you can't teach that. Bada boom, realest guys in the room. Steve, how you doing?
What up, Section 10 in the building?
In the motherfucking building. A baker's dozen for PD Analytics. 12 straight episodes. He's been on the streak, lives.
That's not a baker's dozen. That's just a dozen.
The streak lives. PD Analytics, 12 straight episodes. Unbelievable. He's here. He's proud, wearing his fucking brunch hat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got a problem with it? How's it go?
I feel like the Sergio Dip thing would work for this. There he is, Pete Blackburn, 12 in a row. He's having the time of his life. There he is right there, out there doing a podcast. Go, Pete.
Thanks. I'm here for the Dirty Dozen. That's it.
What a great time to be Pete. Got the new job. Got the streak at 12. I mean, 12. How do you feel, Peter?
I feel pretty good. And the Bruins just signed David Pastrnak. Like, everything is looking up for old Petey Pants.
Wow. When do you start your new job, Peter?
Next Wednesday.
And like, what are you going to be doing for them?
Writing full-time for the website. It's almost the same thing that I was doing at Fox. They want me for some voice-driven stuff, some hockey stuff,
a little bit
of humor, a little bit of hot takes. It should be fun.
Yeah, that'll be exciting.
Happy to get off my ass.
Yeah, get your ass back to work, you lazy fuck.
Yeah,
Pete. The Section 10 podcast is brought to you by Sox Signatures. Sox Signatures is the leader in autographs and game-used memorabilia of tomorrow's Boston baseball stars. Visit SoxSignatures.com today for unique items and the best prices on Sox prospects from Lowell to Boston. Use promo code Section 10 to get 10% off your first order at Sox Signatures.com. .com. Let's just get this out of the way. It's a fucking uncomfortable topic to discuss. We talked about it on Starting Nine last night, and after the show we have to do like a rant type thing, and this was the topic that I had to rant on. I was like, I don't really have a rant. Like, when I saw, like, it was maybe 30 minutes before we started the show is when like everyone kept fucking tweeting me the picture of the banner that went over the Green Monster at Fenway Park. And I was like, do we talk about this? Like, do we put it on the show? Like, I feel like we can't not talk about it. So we ended up like talking about it on the show. My take was the same as it was in the fucking rant, quote, and I'm using air quotes for rant. I wasn't like super fired up about it. I'm not super passionate about it. But what did the fucking banner even say?
Racism is as American as baseball.
Okay. So these three people, I'm assuming it looked like three people.
It looked like about, I guess there were five total. Three were holding the banner. Other people were documenting it.
Gotcha. Yeah. So they unfurl this huge ass banner over the Green Monster. And the one thing that I've like principle wise have stuck with since day one is no politics. No political issues, no social issues, strictly just fucking stick to sports. the ultimate stick to sports guy, because I don't feel passionately about anything in the political world or like social issues, like all that shit. North Korea. Like I'm not reading. I'm not watching fucking CNN. I'm just watching baseball. Like, just leave me in my bubble where all that's in there is fucking professional wrestling and baseball. That's all I'm focused on. That's all I'm paying attention to. So obviously we had the Adam Jones incident earlier this year, which was one of the other times where social issues crossed over into sports, because it happened at Fenway Park and we're a Red Sox podcast. So we addressed it then and we'll address this now. I don't know how you guys feel, but my take was pretty much just don't do that. Like, don't bring fucking big ass banners to drop over the Green Monster during the baseball game, because like, I'm not saying that I'm offended by it. I'm not saying that I disagree with, you know, like the people that are trying to fight racism in America. Of course not. Of course I don't mean that. What I'm saying is there's enough of that out there that we're exposed to all the fucking time. You turn on your TV, it's there. You turn on your radio, it's there. You go on social media, it's there. You go to the fucking bar, it's there. People are talking about it. People are watching things. They're listening to things. They're reading things. So when you go to a baseball game, I hate that the word take has sort of like taken off, because everyone's like, oh, this is a bad take. I disagree with this take. It's not a fucking take. It's a fact. If I buy a ticket to a baseball game, I'm going there for a baseball game. It's not a political rally. It's not your soapbox to, you know, fucking drop your banners over the Green Monster. That's not what it's there for. We are all here to watch baseball, and sports forever has been our distraction from real world issues. Everyone at the game knows that the real world issues exist. We're not trying to ignore them. We're not trying to say that they don't exist. But when I'm there to watch a baseball game, I'm there to watch a baseball game. Like, that's my take, if you want my take on it. And the backlash, I mean, it's not been huge, but like, there's definitely been some backlash to where people are like, oh, so you're just going to ignore it. And like, by ignoring it, you're promoting it and you're approving of it. It's like, fuck you, dude. Like, that's why I hate like political Twitter, because they're just angry. They're angry. You can't people. Win. They're angry about everything. You can't. That's why I don't respond.
You can't ever win. And that's what drives me nuts about all of this. When the banner came down over the Green Monster, I went, great. Now we're losing regardless. Because if we don't talk about it, you lose. If you talk about it, oh, what an awful take. Like, I can't believe you looked at it like that. So it's a lose-lose situation. And I agree. I mean, I don't know how they got that banner in there. That thing's huge. That took up, I know Drellick had a photo of it afterwards where the protesters, like, you know, unveiled it over their house. And it was like a full story of a house. So that thing was enormous. But yeah, I just don't understand the meaning of the message. It wasn't overly clear. And we just don't need that at Fenway Park. Very simple. We don't need that over the Green Monster.
The biggest issue with politics now is that everybody is so dug in on their beliefs that you can't have a discussion with anybody and move at all, because everybody's so dug in. Everybody has their place. They're either like a left winger or a right winger, and there's no meeting in the middle.
It's only backwards. Everybody you can only go backwards with those talks. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody thinks that they're completely right and that they're not even willing to listen to the other point of view. And it just, all those discussions go nowhere. It's just all anger. So it's so annoying to have to deal with those conversations.
Yep. And I mean, I'm glad that Section 10 exists so that I can expand on this, because it's like, all right, you know, huge fucking social issue. Here's 30 seconds, go. And it's like, that's not how it works. And I knew the second, like, even if like the take is literally in the middle, like I'm not picking one side or another. I'm just saying, like, just don't bring that shit over here. Like, it's like baseball ballparks are for baseball. And I know that, especially in today's world with media coverage, then there's just so much, there's such a demand for it. And it's never been, you know, a more popular issue to talk about. There's just, you can go anywhere and get that stuff. Why bring it to a place where and then the counter to that, you got the people being like, well, you know, oh, so you're white privilege and you've never been faced with racism. It's like, yeah, I know I've never been faced with racism, but at the same time, it's just there's a time and a place for the discussion. And there was someone else that was saying something like, how do they word it? They were like, you know, just because we're at a ballpark doesn't mean we don't have to think about like racism and those issues. And I was like, I'm not saying what you can or can't think about while you're there. Think about whatever the fuck you want. Freedom of speech, freedom of thought, whatever the fuck you want. But it shouldn't be forced down your throats. There's a lot of families there with kids. You drape the banner over the side and it's like, you know, what does that mean? It's like now you have to have like this real world conversation with your kid to explain what this huge fucking banner means. It's just, I don't know. It's just, it's not the right place for it. And it, like I said, ballparks are a distraction from the real world. The real world right now sucks. No one is denying that. Some people love to be miserable and they love to just dive right into all the negativity that's out there. If that's what you enjoy, then so be it. That's not what I enjoy. So I like baseball. I like to just be in my world of baseball and that's it.
That's the best part of going to Fenway. I think it's just an escape from everything else that's outside the ballpark. And you can just worry about that nine innings, that game, your team. Your biggest concern is like, if you can get one more beer before like the seventh inning's over, like I don't want to have to worry about that happening at the ballpark and then us having to debate what it means, like what, you know, we're not on CNN. All right. We're not the people that are going to be going toe to toe talking about racial issues and political issues. That's just not, I'm sorry, but it's just not for the ballpark. Like there are places for that, like you mentioned, and it's not at Fenway Park draped over the Green Monster. That's my issue. And people are going to hate that. Yeah. That's people are going to hate these takes regardless. So it's a lose-lose situation. And that's where we're at.
Yeah, not ideal. We can move on from that because, I mean, I'm sure there's people that are going to be listening to this because that's the other thing, too, is why I've said this a million times before. I don't have political beliefs regardless of if I want to speak to them or not. I just don't have them. Like, I just don't care. And that might be a problem. Like you may even listen
that's
to that.
An issue. Like, I'll say yeah, that. And they're like, you don't have how in this day and age, how do you not have aggressive? Like, I just don't. Okay. Just don't. It's like
because it just doesn't look like a fun time. Like every time I look at like a political debate or a discussion, no one seems to be having a good time. Like that, and it's like, oh yeah, go have your good time at your ballpark. Yeah, go fucking enjoy your distractions while the real world goes on around us. And it's like, dude, if whether or not I have political beliefs, the world is going to be a shitty place regardless. Like at least let me have Fenway. At least let me have my one place I can go to and not have to think about all this shit.
It honestly feels like the only place too. Going to games, like it feels like that's your little cave of like, God, okay, we can block all this stuff out. So when it gets inside that cave, that safe cave, then that's too bad.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But again, like that's not saying that you know you can't condemn racism. We're not saying like, hey, get out of here, you racism condemners. Like racism is bad. Let's just be very clear on this. We don't like racism here on this podcast. We don't like racism here in this city. It has nothing to do with shunning the message that they're trying to convey. It's just, again, not the time or the place. Moving on. The Cleveland Indians have won 21 consecutive baseball games. 21 consecutive games. The winning pitcher for that 21st consecutive win, Mike Clevinger, we had him on starting nine. Check that interview out. Good Tito story in there. But I guess how we can sort of look at this is the Red Sox, hopefully, I mean, they've got a 3-game lead now over the Yankees. And I'm not going to act like that's a insurmountable lead because it's not. I still feel decent, I guess, about the Red Sox winning the division. Decent to good. I definitely don't think that we're at that point where we were earlier when there were some people that were saying, well, it's inevitable, dude. The September collapse, here it comes. The Red Sox are going to lose. They're going to blow it. It's all over. But the crying kid, have fun watching the wild card. Even if they make it to the wild card, who knows if they even do that? The Minnesota Twins might pass them. It's like, dude, relax. Relax. I mean, I still think for the most part that the Red Sox are the better team than the Yankees, but I mean, the Yankees have certainly outplayed the Red Sox head to head. So as we sort of take a look at the playoff landscape with what 17 games left on the schedule, you have The Indians, who are world beaters, who I would say it's fair to say that they would probably end up with the best record in the American League, thus getting the wild card team, which is, you know, could be the Yankees, could be the fucking Minnesota Twins. And the Minnesota Twins still have the second wild card spot.
I believe they're still in the two. Yeah, barely.
Barely. Yeah. So it could be the Minnesota Twins. It could be the Angels. Probably not going to be the Mariners. Everyone below that. It's either going to be the Angels or the Twins. And the Twins have been probably the most overlooked team in Major League Baseball this year. Like, how many people even realize that the Twins are a playoff team?
How many people realize that they've, even been above 500?
Yeah.
They probably just assume the Twins suck again. If they're in the wild card game, they're like, are we sure the Twins are in this game? Did they just, like, put them
in
there?
I feel like a lot of people, if they see the Twins in a playoff game, they're going to be like, I forgot the Twins existed.
Yeah. Yes, the Twins. I remember them. Baseball team, right? Yes.
They're still around.
Minnesota. Wow. Great town. Yeah.
Still around? Good
that's
for
right.
them. Good for
the
them.
Cold place. Yeah. They got a baseball. That's cute.
Oh yeah, Minnesota. Hey, Minnesota. Yeah, the Twins. They could be playing the Yankees in a one game playoff. They could be playing the Red Sox. That is a possibility. There's still time for that to happen too. I don't feel that way. I don't think that's going to happen. I still think that the Red Sox can sort of close this thing out, win the division, which would set up that scenario that we were talking about last week, where if the division series goes five games, the Red Sox will have to play the Astros in nine straight times.
I hate that.
Nine straight games. You will get Red Sox versus Astros because they closed the season against Houston with four games and then would go immediately into a best of five series. So if that goes the distance, you are playing the Houston Astros nine straight times. But the downside to that is that the Astros, I mean, what's their magic number? I don't even, it's got to be close. They have a 13-game lead. So they're going to be clinching real soon. They will definitely clinch the West before you probably get into that four-game series with Boston. So they'll be throwing out fucking Johnny Hammersticks and fucking, you know, Barry Blue Balls against you. And then you're going to have to use your best pitchers or just business as usual because you might still be trying to lock up a division title at that point. We don't know. So that is a disadvantage for the Red Sox. And also, where are they record-wise with Houston? I mean, if they're...
Houston's got them by five games. Houston's also going to have that division locked up within the week. Their magic number is five, so that's not going to last long.
Cleveland has the best record in the American League. They're 2.5 games above Houston, and then Boston is 7.5 back of Cleveland, 5 back of Houston. So, yeah, it's looking like you're going to get Houston and Boston for fucking 50 straight games to open up the postseason, which is just not going to be, it's definitely not going to be fun. But, you know, if you want to look at the positive side of it, they're probably going to develop a little bit of animosity towards each other. You play that as the same team nine times in a row, you're probably going to be like, fuck these guys. I would say there's going to be a lack of sportsmanship in these nine straight games as it pertains to this series here. But that's the favorable matchup. You know, don't complain about 7 to 9 straight games against Houston because your alternative is getting fed to the buzzsaw that is Cleveland right now, who have not lost in 3 weeks. They've won 21 straight games. That's the longest winning streak since the 1935 fucking Cubs. It's the longest winning streak in American League history, which, by the way, the American League was founded 116 years ago. So what the Indians are doing right now, very impressive.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of nine straight games in any capacity. I don't think that's good for the league. I don't think that's good for the teams. Maybe by game three, they'll really hate each other. We might get a postseason brawl. Like, that might actually come back. Ooh. If you play somebody, imagine if we were in the same room for nine straight days. Oh, my God. Like, that, we wouldn't be able to survive that. So for these teams to be going up against each other that much, I don't like the idea of that at all. But it's looking like it's kind of a collision course for that. But we'll see what happens. I mean, next week, I think we'll have a realistic idea of what's going to go down, because at that point, you got what? Like, you're getting to single digits in games. Once you're at that point, the magic numbers really start to creep down and, you know, we can move on from there. But if the Red Sox end up hosting the Twins in a wild card game, that would sum up how kind of odd and different this season has felt.
That would be Man, if the season came down to a one game playoff against the Minnesota Twins, that would be.
Welcome to Fenway Park. We have the Minnesota Twins coming into town in a do or die wild card game.
It's only a matter of time before the Sox have to go play in that wild card game. It's only a matter of time.
I love it, for the Red Sox. Like, I don't want to see the Red Sox ever play in that game, but I love watching it every year.
I'm nervous at the idea. When you bring up the idea of a wild card game, I already get like the butterflies. That's not good. I guess that's good for baseball. You want that. I know you want the game seven feeling right off the bat, but yeah, I don't want my team in that. I agree.
Yeah. It's like your opening act. It's like, it's postseason time. So get ready, bitch. Here comes a fucking one game do or die playoff. And we're opening this shit up. It's like, it's having an opening act that has a shitload of pyro and shit.
A little bit of breaking news on this podcast. David Price activated from the disabled list.
Wow.
Breaking news. Pew, 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 pew.
Breaking motherfucking news.
Section 10 breaking news brought to you by PD Analytics. Yeah.
That's what we call a PD bomb. Yeah.
Oh, fucking PD bomb. Heyo. Breaking news. Thank God that there is some breaking news to talk about here, because we're done with Bannergate, and you definitely, like, I don't know. There was sort of a pushback to last episode because we were realistic talking about it's obviously we love the Red Sox. We're not fucking studio analysts that are paid to be objective. We're fans. We love the team just as much as you do, but that doesn't mean being like rah-rah all the time. Being a fan means to look at things, you know, legitimately. You don't have to be like objective, but you have to look at the situation and be like, okay, the Red Sox are definitely inferior to what they were last year. Offensively, they are. Like, that's a fact. Like, there's no debate there. Like, they statistically are worse than they were last year offensively. And now you have to go in and face Houston, which isn't, like, that doesn't scare me. Like, that doesn't scare me. But just knowing that you more than likely will have to go through Cleveland, how are you not afraid of that? Like, how are you not, like what Red Sox fan has been like, oh, fuck yeah, man, we got this shit. Cleveland, fuck y'all. We're going to fucking take that shit down. 21 straight wins, fuck that. Fucking Red Sox been crushing it all year long. Like, no, Boston, they haven't. Baby. It's like they have, like, they've been in first place. They've been a really good team this year. Like, the people that panic on a night-to-night basis because of wins and losses, like, that's a different story. But if you're looking ahead to a postseason series and being like, if you're feeling confident about, like, who the fuck is feeling confident about playing the Indians? Like, that's not like being a bad fan. That's not being negative. It's just simply assessing the situation and realizing that the Indians are the better team. Like, of course they are. Like, who the fuck thinks that the Red Sox are better than the Indians?
It shows how things change so quickly. Like, at the midway point, if we were like, please give us the Astros, like, no one would have been saying that. So I think that proves how good the Indians have been. And this streak is so impressive, man.
It's like, not even just a hot streak. It's not even just that. Like, they should have been the favorites to win the World Series coming into spring.
From the jump,
like, they were. Yeah, it's like, it's not like, it would be different if the fucking Twins hauled off 21 straight victories, and then we were all of a sudden like, oh shit, if we got to face the Twins, what the fuck? Like, no one is saying that, because it would have been, I mean, you can't really fluke 21 straight wins, but I still wouldn't be afraid to face the Twins in the postseason in any series of any length. But the Indians should have been considered the best team in the American League coming into the season. And then for the whole year, they've sort of proven it, and now they're really proving it. So yes, you should be afraid of the Indians.
So Jared, this question for you, that I think I already know the answer, and you're going to have a, oh, told you so. Do you think Corey Kluber, it's now the Cy Young is his to lose?
Yeah, I do. And I remember back when that was a hot take of mine, like, oh, I think Corey Kluber is actually going to pass Chris Sale and win the fucking thing. And from that point forward, I don't even think it's really been a debate. I mean, it's Chris Sale is obviously still kind of cruising along, and is, it's not like he's just shitting his pants. Like, he didn't choke away the Cy Young award. It's just that Corey Kluber has been fucking ridiculous. Like, here's how it stacks up. Since Corey Kluber came off the disabled list, which was at the start of June, he has a 1.77 ERA in 20 starts, a 0.74 whip, and 12.34 strikeouts per nine. How does that compare to Chris Sale? 2.75 ERA, which is still fucking really good. It's just that Corey Kluber has been a full run better. Like, that just speaks to how good Kluber has been versus Chris Sale. And then Sale has the 0.97 whip and the 12.85 strikeouts per nine. So, like, he's got the edge on strikeouts per nine, but not by a lot. Corey Kluber has the better whip and has a full run better ERA since he's come off the disabled list. But even, you know, I understand, like, people are probably screaming at their headphones right now being like, the Cy Young is the whole season, you fucking asshole. You can't pick arbitrary dates for this one. Well, guess what? If you go by average game score for the entire season, Corey Kluber still leads Chris Sale.
Also,
he's a 67.8, Chris Sale 64.8.
Who wins the Cy Young without closing out strong in August and September? So tell me that. Like, you can do the whole season thing all you want, but no one's winning the Cy Young Award with a average last 2 months of the season. I'm not saying Sale's been average, but he's had a 4 ERA since the beginning of August. So it's not like he's been lights out in these games. And I can't remember a guy winning the Cy Young that just kind of, you know, cruises to the end of the year. So I know, three weeks ago, I was saying this is kind of a crazy take of yours, but sadly, it looks like it's Kluber's award to lose. It looks like Corey Kluber's going to be the Cy Young winner unless Sale has some dominant performances to close out here. And Chris Sale is going for history, man. Chris Sale could be the first AL pitcher this millennium to have a 300 strikeout season. So that'll pick up
the Cy Young
and still lose the Cy Young, which would be crazy. So that's going to come up in the next couple of starts. People talking about 300 Ks. But he's going to join an insane list with the strikeouts. I was looking back at it. Randy Johnson, I mean, we know Randy Johnson's amazing. I know we've talked about him before, but he had a 372 strikeout season. Like, what the fuck? 372?
Yep. Pretty good.
That blew my mind. I knew he had, I think, four or five seasons over 300, but 372 is like, I don't think anyone's touching that.
So you'll like this, Steve. Chris Sale is still on pace for 300 strikeouts, but guess what he's on pace for?
He's on pace to have a sandwich? What are you talking about?
311 strikeouts, which means he would have his 300 strikeout season, but would come two strikeouts shy of tying Pedro Martinez's Red Sox single season record of 313 in 1999. So Steve would get to have his cake and eat it too. Pedro's record lives on. Chris Sale, 300 strikeout season. And yeah, I think that it would be tough at this point for Chris Sale to win the Cy Young Award, which is fucking insane.
That's insane. And I hate that I agree with that so much.
Go back and like listen to some of these episodes that we did, you know, towards like the All-Star break. I mean, it was just like fucking slam dunk. We were like, yeah, Cy Young party. MVP.
Jizzing our pants everywhere.
There's at one point, when Steve was like, is it really anybody else in the discussion? And then it was like, no, maybe Kluber. A distant second, Kluber. And then I was like, oh, well, Kluber's approaching. It's kind of locked up now. It's kind of tight. And it's like, is it Kluber's to lose? It's Kluber's to lose.
Yeah. Sale, man. This is so crazy. Like, I think we're all hitting this at the same point. I know Jared was about a month early. I can't believe it. I honestly can't believe it. It's Kluber's award to lose, and that's where we're at.
Yeah, it sucks because I'm sure it's probably, and I know this probably, it doesn't really feel weird to say. White Sox fans must be rip shit because he leaves Chicago, and how many times did he finish in like the top five, top 10 for the Cy Young Award and gotten so close, comes to the Red Sox, and I'm sure that White Sox fans still root for Chris Sale, especially if your team sucks. Like, I still rooted for John Lester after he left the Red Sox. I didn't give a shit. But with Chris Sale, This is the closest. This could be the closest that he ever comes to winning a Cy Young Award. Like the fact that he was basically just like moonwalking to the finish line, doing the worm up to the finish line, and then Corey Kluber just blows by him and just sprints right through the fucking thing. Like that's pretty much what happened. Like Chris Sale had it locked up. Like it wasn't even like you were a fucking moron if you entertained the idea of anyone but Chris Sale winning the Cy Young Award. I still think that he'll be somewhere in the top 10, in the top five, even maybe in the American League for the MVP award, because no one has been more important to the Red Sox than Chris Sale all season long. He's taken the ball for every single start. He hasn't gotten hurt, knock on wood. You know, he's had a stinker there, but it's more just consistency from him being dependable and being far and above everyone else in terms of who has been a standout performer from beginning to end. It's been him. He's the Red Sox MVP candidate, so I think that he'll still get acknowledgement there.
A little random mid-show trivia for you. There are two guys with the most wins in baseball. Do you know who those guys are?
Fucking... No, I have no idea.
Kershaw and Zach Davies of the Brewers. Zach Davies has the most
wins. What?
Yeah, he has 17 wins. He's tied with Kershaw for the most in baseball. Like, what?
Jesus. How does Kershaw still have the most wins when he missed like a month?
Kershaw, by the way, when he was going on the DL, I was like, oh, okay, this is Scherzer's Cy Young to win. Kershaw came back like, listen, bitch, I was gone for a month and all my stats are still better than all of yours. Even the longevity stats, like the games and all that, all the wins. So he's on a different level. Kershaw's amazing.
The Dodgers didn't lose for like 2 months in the middle of the season. So that's where I think Kershaw stockpiled those wins.
Average game score for this season: Clayton Kershaw, 65.2. Scherzer, 65.1.
Ooh.
So pretty fucking close. Pretty close. Maybe Scherzer gets the nod there because of the innings. Who knows? But
Kershaw, best ERA in baseball by a good amount, though. 2-1-2. Yeah,
it's definitely going to be close. Kershaw probably could win. But yeah, it's fucking just bizarre to think of Chris Sale as the slam dunk. No doubt about it. Like, how many people have lost their houses because they went in like in May for sale for Cy Young, take it to the bank.
Dude, I can see like Jordan's furniture doing say, and if Chris Sale wins the Cy Young, which he's favored to do, all your furniture is free. The amount of people that are just throwing their sofas through the window right now.
Like, I will take $60,000 worth of furniture, please.
Can I have every piece of furniture?
Sell it on eBay after. I will take $77,000 worth of furniture, please. And I will be selling this again on Amazon.com after. So making a profit off of you guys. Thank you very much. Yeah, we'll take that $77,000. That's wow. That sucks. But I don't want that to take away from the season that Chris Sale has had. Just, you don't consider it as losing the Cy Young Award. Just think of it as Corey Kluber was just better. And he may have come on towards the end there, but he was better. Next up, David Ortiz signs an unprecedented deal with the Boston Red Sox. I sort of read into this, I guess, like they want him to be like a mentor. And didn't they say it's like a lifetime contract?
Yeah, they couldn't blow David Ortiz more if they wanted to. Like, this is insane, man. Like,
the press release is basically like, the Red Sox have an announcement. We actually, like that. Like, that's what they did with David Ortiz, where it's like, we get it. He was awesome. We love him. But, like, holy shit. What, like, come on, dude, guys.
So, John Henry.
Don't get the balls.
Ooh, that was a tough finish there. We have John Henry checking in. His skill and success on the diamond are rivaled only by his spirit, compassion, and big heart. I cannot think of a better representation for our organization. I'm happy we can now say officially that we have long known David not only as a teammate, but as family. This whole thing, if you want to just, like, you need just romantic music in the background, just slow, like, baby girl music when you're reading this. Oh, the Tom Warner statement's even worse. Not even going to get into that.
Yeah, so read it. Read it.
He has delivered for us in every scenario, even the ones that seem dire and hopeless. He never let us down. Like David himself, this agreement is unique. And the first time we have made a commitment of this kind, of this length, of this girth, yeah, to a player like retired or active. Let's go Red Sox.
Let's go Red Sox. Let's go Red Sox. Go Red Sox.
I want to start a cheer.
I have some thoughts on this deal. First and foremost, it's a very confusing process.
yeah, it is. I wonder how they negotiate.
Yeah, it must have been a confusing process to get that pen on paper for a lifetime deal. But
right.
Not as confusing as buying tickets online for sports and concerts, because that's right. Been a confusing process for a long, girthy time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show that you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and they've created an amazing app and a website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. SeatGeek is always the first place that I go to when I'm looking for tickets to a game or a concert. Have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's very easy to use. It's awesome. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. They do all the price comparisons for you. They search multiple ticket sites and ensure that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work and you save the time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, our listeners get an instant $20 off their first ticket purchase. So to do that, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code. The promo code is section 10. It's all one word, 10 at the end. Enter promo code section 10. SeatGeek will give you $20 off your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code section 10 today.
Big coupon, bitch.
It sounds like to me, that's about that time.
What time is that?
It sounds to me like it's about that time.
Yeah, baby.
What time is that?
Oh, you know what time it is.
What time is that?
Yeah, PD Analytics. Yeah, baby.
What time is that?
Oh, you fucking know. You know what time it is.
What time is that?
Yeah, motherfucker, yeah.
What time is that? What
time is that? Oh, it's that time. It's that time. It's that time, baby. Big Smooth.
It's bedtime magic. It's bedtime magic with David Allen Boucher.
Bedtime magic with David Allen Boucher. Here's a little cut off that Boyz II Men album with this little song called I Want to Tickle Your Nipples with the Tip of My Tongue.
This is David Allen Boucher signing off with 45 minutes of one Kenny G note. Have a good night, everybody.
Steven?
We got some DMs.
It's down in the DM, bitch!
It goes down in the DM.
It go down
in the DM.
It go down.
It goes down in the DM.
It go down.
It go down in the DM.
It go down.
So, down in the DM, as always, brought to you by Ronald's Napkins. They clean your fucking face. We asked for DMs. You guys always deliver. But Peter, there were about 5 to 6 DMs. That, and I'm just going to sum them all up. What the people want to know is what ends first, PD Analytics streak or the Indians win streak? What ends first, Peter?
Oh, man. It actually could be coming down to the wire because we've got some uncertainty coming up now that I'm back on the employment train.
Oh, confirmed. Reddit user, Reddit. PD Analytics doesn't have to leave Section 10 because of his new job at CBS Sports.
Is Pete moving to New York?
Discuss.
Are they all going to be in the sofa?
I saw some people were throwing that out there. Jared fucking stirred up a shitstorm when he tweeted, "Oh, big news next week. Big news.
The second.
It was like 50% merch and 50% Pete's leaving the show.
Well, let me just clarify that when I tweeted that there was going to be a big announcement, I was lying. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for lying when I tweeted that there was going to be a big announcement. It's not true. There's going to be like four big announcements all coming next week. We got one, we got two, we got three, we got like four fucking announcements coming your way. It's not just one, it's dos, it's tres, it's cuatro announcements coming your bitch ass motherfucking way. So get ready for that shit.
Not one, not two, not three, not four. That's, we're basically going to have seven big announcements. So just wear multiple pairs of pants.
Yeah, all at the same time. Like, we're not spreading this out. We could easily be like, all right, it's fucking announcement month. We're going to have a big announcement this week, and on the next show, we're going to have another. No, just going to be one day of just announcement after announcement after announcement after announcement.
Are we worried for the health of our listeners? Like, these announcements might actually kill some of our listeners in terms of excitement.
Let's not even just, like, let's be real about this. Like, people are probably thinking, oh, like, it's going to be something stupid, blah, blah. These announcements are going to change the face of Section 10 forever. The Section 10 that you once knew, the Section 10 that you once loved, is going to be different forever. There are going to be changes in the landscape of the podcast for the rest of eternity. And there's one promise that we can make to you. It's that your lives will never be the same after these announcements. And not only that, but your lives will be significantly, significantly better after what we have coming to your bitch asses.
We're coming right.
So let those imaginations wander.
So the next DM comes in from Riley. Riley asks, we all know what the most confusing process in the world is, so let's put that aside. But for you three, on your day-to-day routine, what is the most confusing process?
Wow. That is a great question. Oh, man. Wow. Confusing process. I mean, working in the Barstool office is kind of a confusing process. I would say trying to find a chair in the morning is a confusing process. Like, I show up to fucking work every day, and there's never a chair, because my chair is like on the end of the desk, so people just think that if they're walking by, they can just take my chair. Like, no one else would think to take a chair away from someone's desk in like the actual like office area, but because my desk is in the middle of the room, people just think it's like a community table where they can just take whatever they want from it. So people have like taken my fucking headphones, they've taken my chairs. So yeah, I'd say the most confusing process about my day is finding a place to sit,
just like finding a way to make it through the day without, you know, saying that it's all not worth it and ending my life. I don't know. I mean, finding employment was probably the toughest part of my day to day over the summer, but my life's pretty simple at this point in time. It's very much not a confusing process.
Yeah, which is good. I'd say finding a place of quiet in New York City is a very confusing process. Can't avoid sirens. You can't avoid noises. You can't avoid hammers. You can't avoid anything. This comes in from Always Boston. Pete, you were the famous celebrity of these DMs. Why isn't PDAnalytics.com a thing, Peter?
I'm not fully prepared to roll that out yet. You know, we're in the early stages of PDAnalytics. He continues to grow and hopefully there are bigger and better things on the horizon. Maybe a website eventually. I need like a full research department before I'm ready to launch pdnlx.com.
All right, that's fair enough. Next one comes in from Sean. He goes, what's the weirdest, hi, I'm a fan of the podcast experience you guys have had?
Oh, God. I mean, like, the first one that comes to mind is like one that kind of happened recently. I mean, I'm sure there's others that like I can't really remember that just like don't stick out right now, but so there's another one too. All right, so the most recent one was like I don't really get recognized in New York like at all. Like, that just doesn't really happen, which is it's weird. Like, it's humbling. Weird to like go to Boston No, not even. Like, it's just like, it's weird to like go to Boston and like, you know, if you go to Fenway, it's like every 45 seconds. And then to come somewhere else that kind of like, it does. I mean, New York doesn't feel like Boston, but like to go into the city and it's just like nothing happens. It's just like you can like flip a switch on and on. It's like whenever I want to be recognized, I can flip a switch. And then when I don't want it, I can shut it off. It's very bizarre. So being here for like over a month now, I was like walking home and I go into like the lobby of like the apartment that I live in. And like this kid was wearing like an Expo shirt. And I was like, oh, sick Expo shirt. And he, and like we got in the elevator together. He's like, is Dave ever going to like pronounce your name right? And I was like, what? He's like, big fan of the podcast. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. And I was like, what the fuck? And like, it's like, I'm basically getting off the elevator, like at my door. And it's, I don't know. It's weird to live in an apartment where there's like podcast listeners. I think that like, that's very strange. I'm not used to that. And then the other one was like, at fucking Fenway, there was like a dude that was like easily in his 60s and was like, he like worked at Fenway. He was like one of like the, I don't know if it was like EMC or like up there or something. And like when I came in, he was like busting my balls with like inside stuff that we were saying on the podcast. I was like, how the fuck do you know this shit? Like, what are you talking about? And he's like, oh, dude, I listen to the podcast. He's Section 10. Love it. Love Section 10.
That's Johnny Steelcock. Hey.
Yeah, he was like fucking like 67 years old. I was like, did not see that one coming.
I think all the weirdest one for me will always be like at Foxwoods when people were like, hey, Section 10. And they were like, they like asked them for autographs, asking us to take pictures. And meanwhile, there are Red Sox players literally walking by on the other side of the hallway, like just walking by us, taking picture with the Red Sox fans. It was fucking weird, but love it.
Yeah, that was bizarre. Yeah. There's really nothing you can compare to that. One sticks out. I know, like you mentioned, Jared, just being in New York, like you don't expect people to recognize. Well, Jared, you're such a big deal. You almost do expect people to recognize you because you're such, you know, hot shit. I went to Tavern on the Green. It's kind of a fancy-ish restaurant at Central Park. I went there with my mom and my aunt because I wouldn't be going to a fancy restaurant by myself. And we got seated, and I was underdressed for the place. I didn't know it was like as fancy as it was. And the waiter comes up, and he just goes, oh, Steve Perrault, Section 10 podcast. I'm like, wait, what the fuck? I still am shocked that ever happened. None of us should get recognized at a restaurant like that. So that should have never happened. My parents still bring it up to this day, which I think is interesting. But no, when people recognize you, it's weird. You kind of get caught off guard and you don't really expect it. Jared, for you, especially in the elevator of your own building, that is very, very odd. Next question from Sam.
Who's caught off guard?
Exactly. That's the toughest part. He goes, who is a worse sideline reporter, Sergio Dipp or Garen Austin?
Garen Austin, because at least Sergio Dipp provides entertainment value.
I don't dislike Garen Austin. I think that Sergio Dipp was Ken Bone for a hot second. And then I thought that the video that he put out after was very weird.
Ridiculous.
Oh, It was for sure weird. He was killing it on Twitter during the day, during the actual game. But that Twitter video, man, he went too weird for me.
Yeah, it was like, how do you sort of relate like fucking up and being terrible on TV to like 9/11 and being like of Mexican descent? It was very strange to make to connect those dots. It's like, no, like we're having a good time here. Like this is fun.
You
were a viral video. Like we can laugh at this. It's funny, but like, wait, what are you doing here? Like there's no connection to 9/11. Please don't make it about 9/11.
The second he went down the path, yeah, I think everyone collectively was like, no, like make this funny. No beef. No. Why are you doing that? You got way too serious. He got serious right off the bat because he kind of smiled in the first 5 seconds. And I was like, oh, this video is going to be amazing. And he's like, being an immigrant and 9/11, the way I grew up, I'm like, yo, this was like a 20-second mess up, you know, sideline report, Sergio. Come on, man. This isn't a platform
it was
for you.
Bad.
Yeah, this isn't a platform for like your political views. I don't know. That was odd. We got a story from Sean. On my girl, Garen Austin. It was, figured you guys might like this, especially Steve. I work part-time in ticketing at Fenway, and on Sunday I was working the line for game day sales per usual. One of the security guards I know tried to throw out a guy for writing on the foul pole, on the pesky pole. I overheard the conversation, and as the guy was apologizing, I thought to myself, wait, they're going to let fucking Garen Austin sign the poll, but not a fan? I mean, I'm sure she gets privileges, but nobody gets free passes for fucking vandalism if we want to play that low card. They didn't end up kicking the kid out, but TBH, I didn't even know what the people got in trouble for in the first place. What a fucking joke. Would love to hear your reaction, because I haven't seen anything like this in a little while. We saw the photos. I saw them on Saturday of Garen Austin vandalizing the foul pole in front of loads of people, in front of police.
You just got to respect Steve's hate for Garen, where it's just like she fucking gets into a car accident, knocks her teeth out. Steve just is like loving every second of it. It's like she knocked her fucking teeth out, Steve. Give her one day off from your hatred.
I'm not putting it past Steve to cut her brakes. That might have been why she got in the car.
I know. Christ, man. Give her one day off of the Steve hate. One day.
That day was yesterday. Today we're back, and she was vandalizing the foul pole. I thought it was ridiculous. If you're going to kick anybody out, kick her out. She's not even like, she doesn't even know the team. The fan definitely knows more about the team than Garen Austin does. Yes, and we have one left. That's it for Garen. We have one left from Cooper. Coop, Mini Coop, how you doing, kid? Coop always sends in good ones. Hey, Coop. Got it down to the DM question for you. Which current or recent Red Sox players would you like to see calling games in the booth the most? Let's do current.
I think the Red Sox... Oh, wait, like current players like on the roster?
Like who on this team would you eventually like do you think A, could do that, and would you like to see in the booth?
I don't know. This team's kind of fucking boring.
Like Brock Holt would be probably pretty good.
He's like kind of monotone too. Like he has personality, but in terms of like voice, you know, when David Ortiz went into the fucking broadcast booth earlier this year, that was electric. Like he was unbelievable. There's no one on this team right now where they have like this booming personality to where I would be like, they would have that same effect if they went into the broadcast booth. Like I need to hear this guy's takes on baseball in live time.
It would be funny if Robbie Ross was in the booth just for our own sake.
Dustin Pedroia could be interesting. I don't think that he would be like the most high energy guy, but I think that he would offer a good amount of analysis and being able to break down the game and with like a smart baseball mind.
Now, Pedroia would probably be best. I agree with that. Like we were skeptical of Tony Romo going to the booth, but Pedroia could definitely be like
fucking unbelievable.
He was really good.
I think like Pedroia is probably he was the guy that came to mind first, but he's also like very low energy when he speaks.
Yeah, but I mean, when your job is speaking and when you have to be entertaining in the booth, I'm sure that he could ramp that up.
You would think that, but then every other former player that they've put in there has been a fucking snooze fest. Like literally every single one.
I just don't think that Dustin Pedroia would allow himself to be a bad analyst.
I don't think that Dustin Pedroia would put on a fake persona for Nesson, especially because like... I mean, I'm sure he had like a decent relationship with Don Orsillo, so he's probably not going to like yuck it up for Nesson.
That's all we got for the DMs. They are brought to you by Ronald's Napkins. They clean your fucking face.
Is that it?
That'll do.
Okay. So don't forget.
Yo, Petey Mikes. You good over there, Petey Mikes?
Major.
Kid? Yeah, sorry. Was that being loud?
So don't forget. Next week. Big, major announcements coming down on behalf of the Section 10 podcast. Let me try and count them in my head. You got this one. You got this one. You got that one. And you got this one. And I guess you could even say this one. Okay, yeah. So I'm counting five. I'm counting five announcements. Five. So that's... that's gonna be something. That's gonna be something. I am I'm anxiously anticipating it. Hopefully you are too. Hopefully you are too, because with what we're trying to do over here, we're trying to take this little Red Sox podcast and crank it the fuck up and take it to the moon, as one Dave Portnoy would say. So that is next week. So be on the lookout for that. Maybe I think the announcement's actually going to be Monday. So you might even like hear or see the announcement before the first podcast of next week drops. So Big week. Big week for Section 10 next week. And things will never be the same again. Well, I'll say thanks to our producer, Steve Peralt. You can check him out on Twitter at Steve_Peralt. You can follow the show on Twitter at Section 10 Pod, on Instagram at Section 10 Podcast. You can follow Pete at Pete Blackburn, doing all that CBS stuff, writing. He's fucking doodling. He's fucking doing videos. He's doing podcasts. He's doing all kinds of shit. So check him out on Twitter at Pete Blackburn. He's doing all the things that you want him to do on the internet. The archive for the Section 10 Podcast can be found at Section10Podcast.com. All 125 episodes can be found over on Section10Podcast.com. You can subscribe on iTunes and rate the show. You download, you rate, you subscribe, you leave a review. And if you do it, perhaps you'll be eligible for the review of the week, which, take it away, Big Steve.
Hey, appreciate that, Jared. We got the headline of this review is most reliably entertaining podcast in the world. And is that not the truth? Let's tell you right now. It's from sure Mike. He says, I cannot do the whole thing in the voice. He says, I look forward to this podcast every release day, whether it's Jared on a rant about an underperforming player while I'm at the office, or the bitchin' tune Stevie P plays while I finish pumping iron at the gym. I know no matter how the week goes, I have a solid 2 hours of on-demand Sox talk with the boys coming my way. Thank you for getting me back into Red Sox baseball, and congratulations to Pete on rejoining the world of employment. As always, the review of the week is brought to you by Go Fuck Yourself. We're not going to play that whole thing again because it's about 5 minutes long, but back to you, Jared.
Thanks, Steve. Oh, review of the week brought to you by Go Fuck Yourself. Wow. Great sponsor. Big shout out to Pete for getting a job this week. Good it going, Pete. Good work.
Hey, thanks, Jared.
So be sure to tell a friend, because it definitely helps out the show here. You go on down and tell a friend about the Section 10 Podcast, because guess what? Postseason is right around the corner, and we're definitely going to be talking about some postseason Red Sox baseball. It might just be against the red-hot Minnesota Twins.
Whoa, didn't know they were still a team.
You can check out our sponsor, Sox Signatures, at SoxSignatures.com. You use the promo code Section10, you get 10% off of your first order at SoxSignatures.com. Also, you want to download the SeatGeek app. You probably like baseball if you're listening to this show. You want to go see a baseball game? Probably don't want to go see a big fucking political banner about social issues. Maybe you just want to see a baseball game. You want to go down to Fenway Park? You download the SeatGeek app, use the promo code Section10, you get $20 off your first purchase right off that app. You don't have to wait. $20 off. You're saving money that you can spend on hot dogs and beer. Use the SeatGeek app. Just as a friendly reminder, big announcement next week. It's coming on now. Coming on down to Funky Town. That big announcement, the Section 10 Podcast. They got those big announcements coming on Monday on behalf of Peter and Steven. Well, this Jared, he's just signing off right now saying, well, I wouldn't want to cuff you.
Big announcement, bitch.
Minute, hour, bigger, better, stronger, power.
You feel refreshed?
I feel so refreshed.
Ice cold water.
Remember that scene with Sandy?
Remember that?
You guys don't remember that scene. I bet you don't remember.
SpongeBob.
Yeah. Hey, Pete, can you talk real quick? All right, man. All right. We don't need you. All right.
All right. All right.
What the fuck is this little kid doing?
This little kid.
Half the DMs were, what streak's going to last longer, Indians or PD Analytics?
hearing a lot of feedback, man.
I can still hear.
Gotta say, you know, you gotta have better headphones and maybe a better mic. I don't know.
Yeah, Pete.
Yeah, snap those fingers, Pete. You streaking bitch.
You streaking bitch.
As I recall, I know you love to show off, but I never thought that you would take it this far. What do I know?
Talk, I was doing my thing. I know what was fair, baby. Hey, babe, late, late. You've been all on my brain. And if somebody would have told me a month ago, front and oh, yo.